Hey there, I'm Matthew Foley and this is ISO Insights, where God's truth grows in the midst of current culture, renewing the mind and spirit.
Welcome back to ISO Insights, and we actually have a return guest this episode. Anybody who's working with ISO is going to know very well, Pastor Marcia Castillo. Thank you so much for coming on, Pastor Marcia.
Thank you for having me. Yep. I am so blessed to be here with you.
This is going to be a great episode, and I'll tell you what, I was talking to Pastor Marcia about what we wanted to cover, and there's a recent event. Well, it's not recent, it's actually forthcoming, and it has to do with something that Pastor Marcia's been familiarizing herself with and what she's been teaching at her church. And anyone who doesn't know, Pastor Marcia and her husband, Pastor Eddie Castillo, are both really primary and first teachers for ISO Español, and they are over that division of ISO. And we're so glad. They're always a joy whenever they come to Cleveland and we get to hang out with them. They bring so much of the joy and the love of Jesus with them. Amazing people, great friends. And I'm excited to hear what Pastor Marcia has to say. So we talked on the phone a little bit about this a few days ago, and I think that we had mentioned the signs of the times and the coming glory of Jesus's return. There are birth pangs in the earth that the Lord talked about, like a woman that's going into labor. But there's a glory in a day of redemption that's drawing near. So what have you been covering about this subject in your recent sermons, Pastor Marcia?
I think for us believers, it's important to realize that, yes, we're going through a transition, difficult times on the earth, but what's coming, the glory of God that's going to fully manifest on the earth, it's going to be something beyond our wildest dreams. And I feel in my spirit that the Lord is calling the church to focus, to learn and focus on the glory that's coming, the things that he has prepared. The word of God says that what no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, are the things that the Lord has prepared for his church. And in order for us to, you know, advance, you know, occupy until I come, he said, right? But in order for the church to advance, to move forward and to be aggressive during this transition, we need to keep that in our forefront. We need to make sure that we understand that the glory of God is going to fill the earth, and we are going to feel the impact of that glory in a way that it's like, wow. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. And can I ask, on top of it, following up that, there's something that's very interesting to me. I know we're going to get into the different points we have here. Everybody in our crew, you know, in the charismatic Pentecostal world, Spirit-filled church, we're all hearing preaching about the coming revival before the Lord Jesus returns. What's the relationship between a coming revival where people are getting saved versus the Antichrist and the end of the age and all these really scary things? People are intimidated by them, but yet there's a revival that's coming that's encouraging. What's the relationship between those two?
Tell you, the enemy is trying to bring, or not trying, he's actually succeeding at bringing fear on the earth. And the Lord, the link between the coming glory, the revival, the people getting saved, is what the pulpit is teaching at this point. And this is why teaching about the coming glory, about the millennial of millennial kingdom of Christ, it's critical, because it brings joy into the heart. It brings hope. It's like, okay, not everything is gloom and doom. There's something better. You know, we're going to make it. The Lord already assured a victory for his church. And we need to be very clear about this when we preach on the end times, and when we preach, for example, and I'm in the middle of teaching on a transitional stage, or a prophetic transition on the earth. And if you listen to everything that's going on in the news, if you listen about the Nephilim and the UFOs and the aliens and the Greys and all those things, it's like, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. The glory of God is coming, and we are going to be the vessels through which he's manifesting his glory. So the church needs to be educated in these topics. The church needs to learn, and the church needs to hold on to those truths if we're going to make it and be victorious during this transition.
Wow. Praise the Lord. You mentioned something about, like, you particularly talked about dispensations. You say that there's a pattern that occurs. There's always a favorable beginning and an end in judgment. Can you describe that pattern that God establishes in Scripture and how that's working out today?
We see this since before the recreation of the earth, the anti-chaotic dispensation. It started well, but it ended in judgment because we managed to mess things up all the time throughout the ages. You know, mankind just cannot get it together. We need Jesus in our lives in order to be victorious. But we see the Lord's plan of for humanity, bringing creation full circle. And we are currently in the process of completing that cycle. When one cycle closes, another cycle begins. So we see these different dispensations, and yes, they all begin in a favorable manner, but they end up in judgment. And right now we are transitioning within the dispensation of grace, and therefore we see that judgment is inevitable. In order for us to finish strong, there's one element which society is fighting right now, and that is repentance of sin. This is critical at this point in time when the dispensation of grace is about to close. For example, let me just share briefly with you. We are currently in the year 5784, which began Rosh Hashanah September 15th of 2023. And the consensus between Judaism and Christianity is that Messiah will come, or in our case, Messiah will return just prior to or by the year 6000. Now, this is based on several scriptures that use the number 7 or the 7-day week to typify the course of human existence. And we see that the Lord's creation lasted 6 days, and on the seventh, the Sabbath, he rested. So the scriptures teach us that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. Okay, let me say that again. One day is the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Thus, each day of the week has 1,000-year parallel. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's keep in mind that it's common knowledge that there's 200 years missing from the Hebrew calendar. So let's count again, okay? 5784 plus 200 years, give or take, that are missing from the calendar, and this is factual, okay? We get to the number of 5984. And if we count correctly, there are 16 years left to complete the 6,000 year cycle. What do you think about
it? Yeah, that's super interesting. I even know, like, there was some kind of an early letter, not to segue too strong, but it was, I think it was the Epistle of Barnabas is what they called it. But there was an early church document that talked about, he said that there would be 6,000 years designated to man on the earth. And then Jesus, the Messiah, would return the 7,000th year to rule in the millennial reign. So that is crazy. I actually was not super familiar with the 200 years missing from the Jewish calendar.
I've done plenty of research on this topic. I actually did a seminar a couple of years ago on time. What is time? And it just blew me away. And at the end of the day, 200 years are missing from the calendar because of all the different changes and switching from God's calendar to the Gregorian calendar. That was a huge mess in itself. And it's a fact that there's 200 years missing, and therefore the number of the year should be 5984. And you're like, oh my goodness, let's do the accounting here. 16 years minus 7 years for the tribulation, and nobody is putting dates out there because we know what the word says about giving dates. But it's so that the church understands where we are at.
Wow.
In God's calendar. This is critical for us. We need to be ready. We need to be praying. We need to be studying scripture. We need to be allowing the Holy Spirit to help us in the process of sanctification, because we are about to cross over to the millennial kingdom of Christ, and we have got to get it together. We need to do well for him.
Wow. You know what's crazy to me that you just mentioned is you said there, this is pretty wild. I've never thought about this, but there is a 2-day, you said 200 years missing from that Jewish calendar. And Jesus, I've heard people in the Jewish roots movement talking about basically trumpets, but also I think it's called Rosh Chodesh, which is waiting for the new moon, that every year that there are 2 days, a 48-hour period, where they are waiting to announce like when the festival begins, because they're not sure within that 48-hour period where the original festival was given, but they're waiting to see the new moon. And then they say, all right, now's the day and the hour. So there are people that teach that Jesus, it sounds like you're familiar with it, when Jesus made the statement, no man knows the day or the hour, it was a reference to that festival. So that's a mysterious connection to me, that the Lord allowed for there to be 200 missing years and there to be 2 days of ambiguity, like where we don't know the exact time.
That's like a type and shadow teaching.
Yeah.
You can apply to the types and shadows. Yeah, I mean, it's obvious that the earth is preparing for this incredible shift. It's an event unlike any other. And we need to open our minds and our hearts at this point to hear what the Spirit of God is saying at this juncture. And like we talked before, we see that the Lord communicates his intentions. And this is very important. He communicates his intentions to his prophets. And for example, we have Jonah and what was happening in Nineveh. And we also talked about the fact that there's a very strange event that will take place on April 8th, 2024, which happens to be Nisan 1.
Thank you so much for watching ISO Insights, ISO Bible College's podcast. And I wanted to let you know about something that we offer, making it easy for you to see the rest of the courses that we have sampled in our videos here on our YouTube channel. You can use our All Access Pass, which you can find more about both in the description below and at isow.org, our website. By using the All Access Pass subscription, $99 a month will get you full access to all of our course catalogs. So please do go over and check out our All Access Pass at iso.org.
Nisan 1, and I'm sure your audience or our audience, I'm going to say, is familiar with God's calendar, but this is the beginning of his religious and prophetic calendar. And on this day, April of this year, April 8th, there's going to be a total eclipse that will cross through Mexico, the United States, and Canada, And NASA is predicting it the longest totality or in land for more than a decade. It's called the Great American Eclipse. Its path forms an X in a city called Nineveh. Now, most of us didn't even know that there was such a city in the United States. But get ready. Get ready. There's more to come. Nineveh, Indiana, and it's located in the middle of the New Madrid fault line. This X looks like the Hebrew letter Tav. It looks like an ancient cross. It means sign, a mark, covenant, or end. There are 7 other cities called Nineveh in the United States. And when I started doing the research on this, it made me stop and say, okay, Lord, I think you're no longer speaking. You're shouting at this point. And Matthew, I hear the heart of the Father reaching out to mankind and saying, hey, your sin is forcing my hand. Pay attention. Return to me. Or the consequences will not be able to be stopped. This is what I see. This is what I'm preaching about. I'm doing this series at church. it's called Heaven on Earth, but then we did prophetic transitions, because it's the Father, it's the heart of Abba reaching out to us and saying, I don't want your destruction. I don't want your death. I don't want your punishment. I want you to turn to me so that I can save you, so that I can spare your soul. And I think we're missing that. I think a lot of people are entangled in a million other things, and we're not hearing, or we're not filtering the message properly. At the end of the day, Abba is reaching out to humanity and saying, I don't want your destruction. Turn to me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's such a strong thing. I think that it's hard even to know how to respond. You know, we've had so many people, Christians, that are asking for the Lord to move on this nation and are asking, fasting and praying that God would have mercy and that we would turn. But what do you think is the right response when people are hearing this and they're like, my word, this is a pretty strong statement. Like the Lord is indicating judgment. Like this is a heavy warning. How do we respond to that? Like, because you can't make all the people that are turning away from God and people that have no interest in serving the Lord, you can't force them to do what you want them to do. Is there something the church is missing about our approach in America on how to reach out to like the lost? What do you think?
I think the focus of the church has changed. I think there's been a shift in the pulpits in America where we are not preaching repentance of sin. And the only way to respond to the Lord when he's pleading with humanity is by repenting. Hmm. And the perfect example is Nineveh. Nineveh was a very, very big city. It was a very wealthy city. They had technology, they had commerce. These people had it all, but they were lacking God. They were immersed in their sin. And God sends an eclipse to Nineveh and tells them, you know what? I'm going to destroy you. I've had enough with you. You're drowning in your sin, and I cannot. It's like we are forcing his hand. We are forcing him to do things that he does not want to do. What does he say in the word? I don't want your destruction. I want you to flourish. I want you to do well. You cannot do well. You cannot commingle holiness with sin. And the church in America is complacent. The church in America is preaching a lot of other things other than repentance of sin. This is our response to a holy God who is calling on to us and saying, I love you. I want you to be a part of my family, but we need to do something. And that something is called repentance of sin. And we see that in what happened with Nineveh. The Lord did not want to destroy the city, and he sends Jonah. Jonah did not want God to spare these people because they were so terrible. They were evil. They were a culture of prostitution, sexual immorality. It's like it was a picture of today's America. There were so many things going on in Nineveh that parallel what's happening to America. It's a little scary. Wow. And the fact that this eclipse, okay, and we know from the word of God that the Lord uses his the sun and the moon and the stars as signs in the heavenlies to speak to humanity. Okay, this is a very basic teaching, but we see the Lord, okay, sending an eclipse on Nisan 1, seven cities with that same name, Nineveh, in the United States, and then one more city in Nova Scotia, also by the name of Nineveh. Don't you think that there's like an emphatic message here from heaven?
Wow.
What do you feel? What is it that you think about when you hear this?
Wow. What hits me the strongest out of what you're saying is, of course, like the wickedness of Nineveh, the unrighteousness of Nineveh. But what's also hitting me at the same time with that is Jonah's disposition. Like, because in the book of Jonah, he was resistant to actually going and preaching and confronting them over their sin. And it hits me as though, like, because you just said there was hope because Nineveh repented. When Nineveh actually heard the Lord and actually got rebuked face to face with the word of the Lord, they went to sackcloth and ashes and they asked God for forgiveness. And Jonah didn't like it. And I think about a lot of Christians in America who are religious, who are set in their ways and are there to themselves and are not willing to cross the aisle to people who are believe in transgenderism, to people who believe in alternative lifestyles. The church has become intimidated by people that are caught up and bound by the devil instead of compassionate towards them. And that's what hits me is this is because there's part of us that wants to believe, and I think the enemy, whenever God sends a warning like this, just like a parent correcting a child, Satan tries to come with hopelessness. Well, there's nothing you can do right. You know, there's no solution. And that's a lie. That's not true. And you're saying, I feel like you're saying the solution's pretty clear. You've got to preach the truth in love, preach holiness and righteousness, without which you can't see God.
I think you touched on something important. The church is intimidated by all these movements that we are seeing throughout the, we're going to talk about the United States, but actually it's worldwide.
Yeah.
The church doesn't know how to respond to all these things, the homosexuals, the LGBT, all these different things that are coming out now. But in reality, if you look at the word, how did God deal with all these strange things that were happening back then? Because mm-hmm. homosexualism is nothing new.
Yeah.
If you go to the book of Genesis, you're going to see what Sodom and Gomorrah was experiencing. It was actually a little bit more aggressive. Mm-hmm. Their movement was so aggressive that they would gather at nights and they would have these public orgies.
Yeah.
Okay.
And hunt people down, strangers.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, they were trying to bring down Lot's door.
Mm-hmm.
They were aggressive. They knew what they wanted and they went after it. So it was a very, it was a terrible society back then. So there's nothing new under the sun.
Yeah.
Okay. And the church needs to learn to teach and preach repentance of sin. This is the key to coming to the Lord. This is the functional side of Christianity. We cannot come to God and we cannot call ourselves Christians if we don't know how to repent from sin, how to say, you know what, I'm going to bring myself before you. I'm going to expose my nakedness in front of you, Lord. Examine me. This is what David said to him. Come and look at my heart. Come and look at my lifestyle. You may be called a Christian and being involved in terrible sin. You know, if you're living with somebody and you're not married, if you're having sex outside of the boundaries of marriage, you're in sin.
Yeah.
And sin is sin. There are no different scales for sin. So I think we're missing the point. We want to appease our society, and the pulpit has been afraid to preach holiness and to preach repentance of sin.
Wow. That's the truth. It's true. And you know what I really have seen growing up? I've seen, like, so generations back in the U.S., most, if not all, of like the spirit-filled churches or the churches that have seen the power of God move have been so heavy into legalism 50 years ago, 60 years ago. And they got so controlling over people's lives, it caused a dramatic swing in the type of sermons that were being preached. So they went from being preached about like the specific length of a guy's britches or a lady's dress. And it ended up swinging to the opposite because so many people felt, even people that weren't even saved would come in the church and be judged. And they weren't even saved yet, you know? And there was so much bitterness about that. We've swung in another direction where we'll never talk about sin, never talk about the judgment of God or the holiness of God, or the standard of God. And it reminds me of the Garden of Eden, where I think it's interesting, like Adam and Eve, we know that God said to Adam, don't eat the fruit. But when Satan interrogated Eve, she said, we can't even touch it, which is, that's a rule added on top of it. And in my mind, that creates falsehood and intimidation. Because once Satan said, nah, that's not gonna happen, that's a lie. Well, he was not completely in the wrong in the fact that she actually, it said she reached out and she touched it and nothing happened. So it created the illusion that God's laws weren't true, when in reality it was legalism added on top of what God actually said to do. So to me, I think that that's where we're at. We've got so much confusion because we're recovering legalists, you know? Recovering legalism. And I feel like that we're, you know, we're trying to get back to that center of holiness and righteousness without condemning people. But I feel like that a lot of the mainstream churches that have history are struggling right now because the old generation is used to those standards of legalism and they don't know how to like get past it to reach out to people out in the world and the current culture. But at the same time, the older generation knows we still have, we're right about a standard of holiness. So I feel like that's the key to seeing revival. What do you think?
You know what? The standard of holiness needs to be present in the heart, not how I. Once I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, because I remember when I came to the Lord, I was already a mature woman. I'm not going to say what age, you know, about my age. But I remember very clearly the Holy Spirit taught me what to do, what to wear, where to go, what not to see. So, you know, what we don't need to tell the youth, for example, hey, don't dye your hair green. Hey, don't do this. Don't do that. No. Let's get them saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And he and only he is responsible for the process of sanctification. And I think the church taking it upon themselves to say, I'm going to tell you what's right and what's wrong. And that's what brings a disconnect and people are like disenchanted. It's like, I cannot reach that standard. Okay. But it's not the Lord's standard. His purity is simply in the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Everything stems from the heart. If we look at the example of Nineveh, boy, the Lord contended with Jonah and Jonah said, you know what? I'm not willing. These people are too wicked for my sake. They don't deserve to be saved. And that's not Abba's heart. He wanted to get these people saved. And Jonah was forced to comply, so to speak, you know.
Yeah.
And what he does, he starts walking through the main street in Nineveh. And the response was overwhelming. Even the animals were made to fast, okay? These people understood and heard the voice of the Lord and my cry. And I tell you, I don't want to be emotional here, but I'm crying out to the Lord for America to listen to his message. This eclipse, do you know that the state of Texas had to declare a state of emergency for the little, there's a town outside of Nineveh where they're expecting a big crowd to see the eclipse. And they had to, declare a state of emergency so that they can accommodate all the people. And my cry to the Lord is, let them hear you and not just the sensationalism of another eclipse. Because there's a manifestation in the physical world, but there's a spiritual message. And that is, the Father is crying out to us. You need to repent and you need to come back to me. And that's the bottom line here. It's a harbinger. It's a message for us. What is the Lord saying to America? Could it be that we are behaving like ancient Nineveh? And I think we all know the answer to that. This was, if you go to the book of Nahum, chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, you're going to see what the indictment was on Nineveh. They were sinless in blood. Do you know that the statistics for the 2023 leading cause of death came out? And guess what that was? Abortion.
Wow. Oh, my word.
The United States alone has almost a million abortions, 800,000 and some abortions in 1 year.
Oh, my word.
So we are spilling innocent blood. There's deceit Take a look at what's happening with our government. Everybody's like, you know, I don't even know if I'm going to vote. Mm-hmm. You do vote. You need to vote not based on who you like as a candidate. You need to vote based on the convictions of your heart and the person that's closest to the heart of the Lord. Nineveh was involved in fornication, sorcery, idolatry, immorality, you name it. They had everything going against them. And the Lord still found it in his heart to extend mercy and hope. Mm-hmm. But there has to be a response on our end. I think America is like a reflection or a parallel of Nineveh. The condition of our country is, spiritually speaking, is just terrifying right now. And I have grandchildren, and I think to myself, what's going to happen 10 years, 20 years from now? How are we going to respond to the sin? How are we going to manage and navigate through AI?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The hybrid creations that are coming. Mm-hmm. How are we going to teach our children, our youth? What are we saying? What are we preaching? And I'm sending a message to the pulpits in America. Let's go back to the prayer closet and let's ask the Lord, what do you want me to talk about? And be fearless.
Yeah.
And not let society intimidate us and tell us what we can and cannot preach about.
Yeah. Hallelujah. I agree. I think that the first thing is the house of God being set in order in this country and in this part of the world, in the West. There are a lot of Western countries other than the U.S. and Europe that once claimed the name Christian. And I pray that these people that were a part of sending out the gospel to the rest of the world would return to Jesus. But as for this house, I think that what we have now, because the Word of God says the gates of hell will not prevail against the kingdom. But Jesus also said, abide in me. If you abide in me, he said, then I'm going to abide in you. Draw near to me. And we have to be real about what intimacy with the Lord Jesus looks like. And it doesn't look like a house compromised with sin. It doesn't look like people that put up with wickedness and heaviness and unrighteousness and people that are depressed. You know, it looks like people that have a joy that overcomes all of this negativity hitting us. And I think that what you're saying is true. Like, you've got to be aware about the signs of the times, but you can't let what's going on in the news, the deception, the corruption, overcome you. Because the Word of God says, what's in us, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And I believe, Pastor Martian, what you're saying, there is a message of hope to be found in the warning of the Father, you know? And it says in the Word of God, the Son who the Father loves, he disciplines. You know, we don't like the discipline of the Lord, but it's because he loves us.
But he also knows and understands what sin does to a person.
Yeah.
We may not be aware of it. We may not fully understand it, but sin causes destruction within a person. Sin causes sickness. Mm-hmm. It brings disabilities. If we are away from the Lord, if we are disconnected from God, let's face it, life does not function. Mm-hmm. He is our creator. And I think the pulpits in America need to be fearless at this point. We need to be fearless. We need to speak truth. I often think about Pontius Pilate asking Jesus, truth? What is truth? And truth was standing in front of him. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ is truth. And there's a lot of people that are afraid because offensiveness has grown in a way that it's almost like it's insane. People get offended with the pronouns. People get offended if you talk about homosexuality or if you talk about, you know, the transgenderism. We cannot have taboos in our midst.
Yeah.
We need to break down the taboos and talk about it openly from the pulpit so that people know, that people can discern and make up their own minds. Nineveh was a terrible city. immersed in sin, in terrible things, but when presented with hope and with an option, they respond well. And I think we owe them, we owe human beings that same opportunity. You exercise your free will and you decide for yourself, is this for me? Do I want to change my life? Do I want to get out of the hole that I'm in, the depression, being bound by the enemy? Do I want to stop using drugs? Do I want to stop having abortions and abstain from having sex until I find someone truly, you know, make me happy? For a woman to respect her body and respect herself enough to say, you know what, I'm not a harlot. I'm not just going to go to bed with you because I like you. You know, those are things that the Holy Spirit will bring to a person, and the person will need to respond.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I'll tell you what, those that are listening, when you're hearing this, this is a message of hope to you. If you're, if you don't even know the Lord, but you're in a lifestyle where anything goes, or, you know, you haven't really had a standard when it comes to your own personal life, but you're hearing what we're talking about and you're feeling that conviction, your conscience telling you there's something that's wrong, I would encourage you to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to reveal himself to you so your life could be changed, and he will. And if you're a part of the church and you're hearing this and you're saying, man, I need to clean my house out, or you're hearing, man, I really need to be bolder and reaching out to those around me that need the Lord Jesus. I don't need to be afraid of those, or even be prejudiced against people that are caught up in sin. You know, the mercy of Jesus is the same for us that are in the church as those that are outside of it. We all are at the mercy of God. And I encourage you to reach out to those that are around you, to your neighbors and to those in where you live, and to seek the face of God, that your town and your community and your church could be transformed in Jesus' name. Thank you so much, Pastor Marsha, for coming on this episode. And we know that you're going to be a repeat guest. We're actually about to do a double take, another episode film. So everybody, please do tune in again and hear what we have to say. God bless you.